Hello, good evening to everyone. Let's talk about the command injection, which is one of the favorite vulnerability type. This is Mehmet Ince. I'm working for the Invictus Cybersecurity and the Intelligence Company, and I've been doing vulnerability research for many years. And MDISec is my Twitter handle, and the pentest.blog is a web page. Me and my teammates sharing our research with the community all over the world. Okay, let's just have a look at the what is the command injection. So it allows you to execute arbitrary command on the host operating system through the web application. So as you can see in the picture, there is a payload which is being sent to the application, and application is going to execute operating system command on the host, and the payload is being used as a, maybe a parameter, as a part of the command. And whenever the call has been executed, it's going to take the content from the HTTP response and it is being passed to the SSH. So successful exploitation of the command injection usually so dangerous because you are just taking control of the operating system so that you can go to the post-exploitation phase, like accessing a different service on the same zone or exfiltrated data, etc., etc. So the question is, why does an application need to execute operating system command in the first place? Because we are not doing something out of the blue. We are just abusing some features in the software. So it, I believe it's so important to understand why does the application needs to execute operating system commands. And for the answer, the reasons I have seen in my life, I have a couple of reasons in here. By the way, I've been doing a lot of vulnerability research on the security solutions. So we have a lot of example, and also I have a case study today for you to talk about. Anyways, let's go back to the topic. So I was working on the product from the Trend Micro web security appliance, and there was a feature in the administrator interface, and that interface was giving a ability to mount a new disk. So from the developer perspective, if you have to mount a new disk, you need to execute a mount command on the Linux world, and the easiest way to do it, executing a operating system commands. And another things that I have seen was related to Micro Focus email security gateway. And that product is basically takes all the email and try to find out what's happening. And in the email world, DKIM is a important, and the software of the product have a capability to generate a DKIM for a domain. And in order to do it, you are going to execute operating system commands. And any kind of parameter or some part of that command can be controlled by the attacker, we are going to have the command injection. Another case that I've seen was related to the Manage Engine Application Manager, which is, monitoring various different type of, devices and the softwares. So in order to do it, you need to access the machine you are going to monitor, and the way that solution was performing that action was using the domain credential for the validation. And in order to perform the domain validation, the credential validation through the domain world, they are just executing a PowerShell script that has been written by the developers. So the username and the password or the domain name or the path, those parameters are taken from the user. So basically we can do the command injection. And another thing that I've seen, actually, the backup feature, every single product that I've seen in my life has that feature. And whenever you are dealing with the backup, that means you need to take all the configuration from the file system. You need to dump the database, you need to collect all the information, and you need to compress them and give it back to the user as a zip file. And easiest way to do it, writing a custom bash script on the server side, and whenever you click the backup the system, that bash script going to be executed, and if you manage to control some part of that command, you're gonna have the command injection. So there's a lots of different cases that I've seen, but those are the most interesting that I've seen in the last couple of years. As I said to you before, I have a case study for you, and which is the Trend Micro Interscan Web Security Virtual Appliance. So I was doing vulnerability research on that product, and I'm going to talk about what I've seen. Before diving into the details, whenever I'm doing a vulnerability research, in that case, the administrator interface is written with Java. So I'm just finding all the jar files, all the web.xml and the other configuration files, and I copy all of them onto my main host for the further analysis. Once you have all the jar files, you can just compile them, and by using IDEs, you can load those the compiled files into the project structure so that you can use the one of the best feature of the IDEs, which is the finding a function, and just by clicking on that function definition, you can see all the different places that function has been called, or vice versa. Whenever you see a function, you just click on it and go to the definition. That capability sounds like easy, but it is very, very important, especially if you are doing a manual code review like I do. When you finish those jobs, you can follow the two different approach. So top to bottom or bottom to top. Top to bottom is just like start reading the source code by the filters, and then you can go to the controllers and service and the repositories model. Try to understand what's happening in the in general. But if you don't have enough time, when I don't have enough time, actually, I'm just looking for the potential vulnerable function. And in that presentation, we are talking about operating system command executions, and every single programming language has a support for that one, like a shell exec in the PHP, like a system in the Python, get runtime.exe in the Java, etc., etc. So those are the potential function vulnerabilities for the command injection. So basically, you can just look for the existence of that functions in the code base. So whenever you find a suite, function calls to exec, after that you can try to find out whether you can reach out that part of the software, and also it is important find out what kind of variables you can take control of. So bottom to top or top to bottom. So let's go back to do our case study. So while I was reading the source code, I have seen that endpoint which performs a validation on the IP address. If the request is not coming from the localhost, it performs validation on the session, I mean on the user with a level 3 access, which means the administrator. That is important because there will be an interesting function call at the rest of the function. But whenever you find the command injection, you can come back in here and try to find out to bypass those validation and checks. So let's keep reading, because in the end we are going to bypass that restriction. Rest of the definition, we are seeing it's taking the post data and it parses as a JSON object, and it takes the mount device key from the JSON object, and it performs escaping in here, some sort of escaping happening in here. As you can see, it escapes the double quotes and the dollar signs because it is one of my favorite attack vector for the command injection, especially when the application performs string concatenation with a double quotes, because whenever you use the dollar sign, that means you are going to execute a different command, which is important for the exploitation phase. Backtick and all of those characters has been escaped with a backslash, and backslash has been escaped again in here, so we have a double escaping problem maybe. After that is valid mount device function has been called with the after param, which is the only object that we can control in here. As you can see, through the after param, it goes to the is valid mount device, which means we need to read that function. But most importantly, we are seeing XAUI helper CMD, which is going to use the after param variable that we can control. What's happening in the valid mount device is there is a very weak blacklisting, and the trimming some white spaces, etc., etc. So Bash, Bin Bash, Python, Perl, Titan and Pearl starting with a space, you know. We can bypass that blacklisting during the exploitation. So XUI helper CMD calls UI helper, which has a SUID with a root user. That means that command gonna be executed with a root user. And finally, exCMD, it executes runtime, get runtime exec, which is my favorite function in the Java world. So, in order to prove the vulnerability, we just call the sleep function with that trick. And as you can see, the sleep can be executed in here with a root user. So basically, we have the command injection vulnerability. When the topics come to the exploitation, you know, for me, it is completely two different worlds, finding a vulnerability and then going for the exploitation. Because when topics come to the exploitation, there will be, you know, lots of different cases. As you can see in here, we have the double quote in our Python payload, but double quote can't be used because it's been escaped in the server side. In order to overcome that problem, I just switch back to the Perl, but I still want to execute my Python dropper. So I'm just implanting my Python dropper into the Perl because it's not going to use the double quotes, it's going to use the single quote. So we are going to execute Perl, which is going to be our first dropper. It's going to be executed our Python, which is going to be our second stage of the exploitation. And the Python gonna go to the communication with the C2 server. I'm gonna take the rest of the payload. So, when the topics come to the exploitation of command injection, your imagination becomes, and of course, Linux or the Windows operating system knowledge becomes very important. So, as I said before, that vulnerability has been solved, but as you can see in the vulnerability details, authentication is required to exploit that vulnerability. But whenever I find authenticated command injection, I just go back to the initial phase to find out way to bypass the authentication. So, let me play the video. I have implemented the Metasploit module, that one. And as you can see in here, I find a way to leak the active session ID. And by using that session ID, we are going to do mount device endpoint where we have the command injection vulnerability. So we have some sort of combination of the three different vulnerability. Two of them used to bypass the authentication, and the third one is the command injection. Right. So, as you can understand, it's all about input. Actually, this is not special for the command injection. Like, you know, SQL injection, it is like a, you know, the way you are controlling some part of the SQL query and you are just doing the manipulation here. So it's same for the command injection as well. So that means the input means literally everything. But for the command injection, it doesn't has to be, you know, the command injection, it doesn't has to be between the request and the response cycle. It can be outside of that request and response cycle. And I'm gonna draw the case that I'm thinking in here. Start drawing. There is a let me log in with a go, but I'm gonna update the data on the server side. Maybe I don't need to log in. Maybe the application thinks that I just logged in because of that session update on the server side. So, anyways, we have the application in here, and that's the application boundaries. You know, that's the application we have. So, whenever we are thinking about the input, we are just thinking about the request and the, I'm going to use P for the response, request and response. And basically, we have HTTP in here. But as a term, I mean the input. Means every single data that's come into the application. So that means for me, the data taken from the databases is also inputs for also web services or microservices. The data that you are taking from outside of your application means input. It can be like Redis, it can be the file you are reading from the operating system, file system, you know. Every single those kind of data that comes into the application means input for me. So when the topics comes to the input validation or the security from the developer perspective, they are doing great job in here, but I don't see, you know, input validation on the data taken from the database or the data taken from the web services. So, but for me, you know, input means literally every single data that's come into the applications inside. So, I have one interesting case for that scenario, Micro Focus email security appliance. It's been like a couple of years, but the software takes the data from the database, as you can see in here. The first column gonna be the domain, and the second column gonna be the selector, and then it performs some, you know, ISET function checks over the domain and the selector, and we just jumped to the else part of the if, because we are thinking that we are control the data on the database, or at least we can find a way to control or change the data on the database. So we can jump into the else statement, and if you can see in here, the system function has been called in order to execute the open DKIM Jinky binary, which is going to generate a key for the DKIM of the domain, and the selector and the domain has been used in here without, you know, escaping or input validation, etc., etc. So that means if you find a way to implant our payload into the table that select query is taking the data from, we can exploit that vulnerability. So during the exploitation phase, I find the SQL injection, and by abusing stack queries, I manage to create a user with the administrator privilege, and then I go to the different user interface where the data is being populated to the table, because the data in that table gonna be used in here. So basically, we are just triggering insert queries which contains our payload, and the data, our payload written to the database, and it is being taken by the different part of the application, and that part is going to execute the system command with the data that we can control, and in the end, as you can see, we have the command injection. So guys, thank you very much for listening up, and thank you very much for the GitHub security team for having me. I just want to talk about my own experience for the zero-day hunting, and especially for the command injection case. It is especially quite popular for the appliance solutions, and different perspective can help you out, maybe, you know, eventually, I hope so, to find out those kind of vulnerabilities. And thank you very much.